line. Good day, everyone. Welcome to this conference call on the suspension of subcapacity licensing terms. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Roger Kerr. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Justin, and hello, everyone. As Justin said, my name is Roger Kerr. I'm part of the Software Group Marketing, Planning, and Strategy organization located just north of New York City in the United States. And I'm joined today by Sue Swanson, who is the manager of the Passport Advantage team, John Maurer, who is on her team, Steve Salaveria, and Raj Krishnamurthy, who are both part of the Software Group Pricing organization. And we want to talk to you today about the suspension we're announcing of some terms to the subcapacity licensing. And we'll go through that in a little detail after we cover the basics of what subcapacity licensing is, just in case there's some uncertainty about it. But first, let me make sure that you have the charts. If you registered, you should have been sent the charts in your confirmation notice, and they would be located at the bottom of the note below the international call-in numbers. In case though that you didn't register, since we did distribute the phone numbers, to get the charts, you need to ultimately get to the subcapacity licensing page in Passport Advantage. And to do that, you would start by going to the Extreme Leverage homepage, which is w3.ibm.com/software/XL. Again, that's w3.ibm.com/software/XL. On the right-hand side of that screen, you'll see a box that says Tools and Resources. You want to use the drop-down on that menu and select Passport Advantage, and then click on Go. That takes you to the Passport Advantage homepage, and in the News section, the second item down, at least it was earlier today, is the subcapacity license suspension announcement. If you click on that, that will take you to the subcapacity web page. And about halfway down that page, you will find the charts for this call, just below the text on the suspension. So subcapacity licensing has now been available as a standard offering for about 2 years. And during that time, we've learned a lot about the subcapacity process, how our customers are using it, and what some of the concerns and issues are with the process that we implemented. And we are trying our best to be as flexible as possible. During that time, we've had multiple releases of the Tivoli License Compliance Manager tool, which is the tool we use for the customers to track their usage and report. And will be part of the suspension announcement here today. But one of the things that we've done is really spent a lot of time listening to the customers to understand their experiences. And one of the things we've noticed is that they're having some trouble with the Tivoli License Compliance Manager tool, especially when they have fairly complex installations. And we're also, in addition to being worried about trouble the customer's having, we're also concerned that problems using this tool for our software licensing may be impacting the image of the commercial version of the TLCM tool, and we want to ensure that that doesn't happen either. So let's go ahead and move to slide 2 and take a look at the agenda that we're going to cover here today. So I'll start with a review of the subcapacity licensing announcement that we made 2 years ago, and enhanced just a year ago to cover its value proposition and the core benefits of subcapacity to the customer. Then we'll describe some of the concerns we've heard from customers and from folks like yourselves with our existing process. And from that, then we'll talk about the terms we're suspending as we try to improve the process based on that feedback. Then we'll talk for a few moments about the communications we've done with customers and where we need your help in that process. And then finally, some resources for you if you have questions following this call so that you can get those questions answered on a timely basis. So if you go ahead and turn with me now to slide 3, I want to start and just make sure we all understand what subcapacity licensing is. But to do that, I think that the best place to start is to reemphasize again something we've talked a lot about over the last 8 or 9 months, Since the announcement of the processor value units, we tried to reinforce the fact that IBM defines a processor as the processor core on the chip. So if the chip is a multi-core chip, meaning it has more than one processor cores on it, we consider that to be multiple processors or multiple processor cores. And I know that this is something that many of your customers don't define quite the same way, but it's very important that when you talk with them that you continue to reinforce that IBM's definition is the processor core. And in fact, we in the headquarters team have tried to get used to always saying processor core, not using the word processor by itself. Now that we've reviewed the definition, let's take a look at the chart here on the pictures here on this page. Historically, our primary license agreement was what we now call full capacity, which said that a customer had to have the appropriate number of license entitlements for all of the processor cores on that server, whether the application and the middleware was running on those cores or not. So in this picture of full capacity, we've had the customer partition the server into two partitions, a blue partition and a red partition, each with three processor cores activated in those partitions. But under a full capacity license, even if the customer was focused on the IBM middleware in the blue partition, they would still be required to have licenses for all six processor cores. However, with our subcapacity licensing offering, in that same situation, if they were running IBM middleware in the three cores in the blue partition, they would only need to have licenses for those three cores. They would not have to license the cores for the red partition. Of course, if they had other IBM middleware running in that red partition, they'd have to have the appropriate number of licenses or three licenses for that partition too. And let me come back just a moment. I used the word when they had six processor cores activated. One of the questions we've received from some sales representatives is to understand the difference between active and inactive processor cores. So if your customer had a server shipped to them that physically had 12 processor cores in the server, however, only six were activated out of the plant, so that when the customer receives the box and turned it on, all they see is six processor cores, and it could very easily look like the pictures in either the full capacity or subcapacity section of this page. The other six inactive processor cores would not even be visible to them. However, in time, if they needed the extra capacity, they could have IBM turn those processor cores on. Until those cores get turned on, they do not need license entitlements for those cores. They only have to license active cores, ones that can currently run our middleware. So that basically covers full capacity and subcapacity. The real key here, though, is that as customers continue to adopt the virtualization technologies, as most either are or will be very shortly, we believe most customers are going to want to use our subcapacity licensing structure to assist there. So please move with me now to slide 4, and I'll describe what the actual subcapacity offering is. But I'll tell you what, just in case there's someone who's joined us since the call started, let me just tell them that there's two places that you can get the charts for this call. If you took the time to register for the call, the confirmation note will have the charts at the bottom of the page. If you did not, you need to go to the Extreme Leverage homepage at w3.ibm.com/software/Excel. That's the two letters, XL. On the right of that page, you'll see a box that says Tools and Resources. Select Passport Advantage from the drop-down menu, and then click on Go. That takes you to the Passport Advantage homepage. In the news section on that page, you'll see the second item is for the suspension of subcapacity terms. If you click on that, that takes you to the subcapacity page, and about halfway down that page, you'll find these charts that I'm presenting from. So back to slide 4. So 2 years ago, in April of 2005, we announced our first official subcapacity licensing offering. It had been available through special bid to some customers before that. What we announced was that for selected IBM products, which at the initially was all DB2 and WebSphere, but has been enhanced since that time with some Workplace, OmniFind, Informix, TX Series. We've added WebSphere Commerce. MQ was there originally, as was WebSphere Portal. So we're expanding this portfolio. Over time, we expect it to cover almost all of the software group portfolio that is licensed using processor value units. There will always be a few that don't fit here for good marketplace reasons. But in general, we hope to move all of our products to this subcapacity model over the next few years. Now, we also announced at that time that we only supported selected partitioning technologies. And the real issue here is that new technologies are being announced pretty regularly from various vendors, and it's just a matter to get the tool to support them. So today, we support most of the technologies on System P and System I from IBM. If you're running Linux on an LPAR on a Z series, that partitioning technology is supported. We also support many of the partitioning technologies used by Sun on its Spark architecture with the Solaris operating system, as well as with HP's version of Unix on their PA RISC box. And then a year ago, we enhanced subcapacity with the support for x86 chips. This is running Windows or Linux. And you should also note that at the moment, we can only license down to the chip level. We can't actually make it down to the processor core. That's something we hope to be able to do in the future. So if your customer has a dual-core x86, they'll need to license for both of the cores on that chip as the smallest unit in subcapacity. Or if they have one of the new quad-core chips, one of those chips that has four cores on it, four cores or 200 processor value units would be the minimum that they could license to using the subcapacity offering today. And again, we will continue to enhance that over time with new partitioning technologies as we're able to get that support into the Tivoli License Compliance Manager. So I've mentioned the Tivoli License Compliance Manager a few times here. We wanted the customers to have a tool to track their usage and ensure that they were in compliance. So you may be aware that Tivoli License Compliance Manager is available as a regular for-fee product in our software asset management portfolio. But Tivoli created a special no-charge version to do compliance with subcapacity, and it's called the Tivoli License Compliance Manager for IBM Software. So you need to look for those words for IBM software after it. The tool itself is free. The servers that it runs on, and, of course, the customer's time to install it, is on the customer's dime. But the software tool itself is provided for free. They need to install that tool and make the various subcapacity software entitlements known to it, and then quarterly run a report and submit that to IBM. And so what subcapacity really does, as you saw on the previous chart, is it lets customers license, reduce their software cost in effect, but lets them license for fewer than the total number of processor cores on the server. And as they virtualize, as they move more workloads onto individual servers, where historically they might have only had one workload, but now they may have two or three or five or 10 workloads running on one server, it gives them the flexibility to minimize their software licensing costs to just match the actual deployment they're using. It allows them to help drive higher utilizations on their hardware, and of course that drives better price performance out of their software as well. And another big factor for IBM is it enables us to lower the discount rates that we offer. We know that prior to having the subcapacity offering, many of you working with your customers and trying to do the right things for them would discount to effectively offer the right price for subcapacity, even though they were getting licenses for all the processors on that server. And of course, the problem comes then when that customer's workload grows that we do not gain revenue as they turn the products on additional processor cores. So with subcapacity, as the customer's application and the usage of IBM middleware grows, we see additional revenues. So that's certainly a benefit here, and it's a benefit not only to IBM, but it's a benefit to you because you get paid on those. So let's go ahead now and take a look at the customer's side of the process in a little more detail on slide 5. So as I mentioned, the customer needs to install the free version of the Tivoli License Compliance Manager for IBM software. I should note that if they want to buy the full-featured product and do all the extra functions that it's capable of doing over and above the way we use it for subcapacity, they can do that. But if they want the free version of the tool, the for IBM software version of TLCM, they would get it the first time they order a subcapacity product. Now, until January, we were using version 2.2, and in January, version 2.3 was announced, and it's version 2.3 which has the support for processor value units in it. So the customers needed to install that. It would then register all of their products with it, and it would then track the product usage to what we call the high watermark. That is the maximum number of processor cores that were capable of running that software at any particular time. So that if a partition was defined for a maximum value, that's the value that would be reported. And then quarterly, the customer would run a report, and after they had verified that it was correct, they would submit that report to IBM. Now, to make that happen, they would have registered their administration server with IBM's license management server. And then when the period comes in which they submit the reports, they would submit that ITLCM report to the license management server for IBM. And for those of you who have customers with subcapacity licenses, we're currently in the period that customers would be reporting for the first quarter of 2007. So one of the things that we are going to ask you if you have a customer who has a subcapacity license is to make sure that they're aware they do not need to submit those reports to IBM at this time. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. So now let's go ahead and talk about some of the key issues that we've heard from your customers and from folks like yourselves as we've talked to many people about our subcapacity licensing process. And to do that, let's move to slide 6. Now, we commissioned a task force here to focus on some of the issues we were hearing to make sure we understood them in depth. So we had people from the software group pricing team, from the Passport Advantage team. Tivoli had folks on, as well as the folks out of IBM's own back office system, CFCSO, and what's called the GET team, who developed some of these offerings for us. And they went out and took a look at a number of the situations in depth, and in fact, Tivoli actually pulled together a SWAT team to go out to some of the customers who seemed to be having the most trouble to make sure we understood what the issues are. And one of the key things we found was that when customers have very complex environments, it was just very difficult to implement the tool, and primarily for reasons that have nothing to do with the tool or the subcapacity offering itself, but historical reasons of how we have packaged and offered our products. In the middle of this chart, you'll see we talk about how bundles add complexity. So if a customer has a version of DB2, we discovered they may not automatically know whether that was a standalone product that they were paying for, that particular instance of DB2, or whether it had come as a component in a bundle, that is, as a prereq for another product. So they may have got a product, for instance, ITLCM itself, prereqs WebSphere and DB2 today, and so that the LCM would get the license of LCM would provide them a free copy of DB2, which of course they may need to track, but they don't want to be buying extra licenses for, so they don't want to count them toward their four fee versions of DB2. And so this was very difficult for shops with large, complex environments. And given that it was hard to define which was a component and which was a standalone product, then the task of assigning entitlements to them was very difficult to do and was frankly set up a little different in the license management server than it was in the ITLCM tool, adding to the complexity. So having taken a look at this, we've determined that at the moment, asking the customers to use TLCM to report usage on IBM products just isn't practical. Again, if it's too complex, then it makes it very difficult. And, of course, it doesn't make sense to just remove this requirement for complex shops with complex installations. We're going to go ahead and remove that or suspend that temporarily for all customers. Let's go ahead and then move to slide 7. And it kind of maps out what we're doing with the Tivoli License Compliance Manager tool. There's really 5 steps when you look at the end-to-end process with the tool, starting with the first step where they need to sit down and understand which middleware products are actual for-fee products that they need to have commercial licenses and pay for them, and which arrived as components of other products and are essentially free to them as long as they're using them within the restrictions that come with it when you use it as part of a bundle. And the second step would be to apply the correct entitlements to them. That's essentially where you make sure that those fee versions of the product have an appropriate entitlement assigned. And that's where, as I mentioned in the previous slide, where aligning the Passport Advantage screens and the way it defines the individual sites to the ITLCM setup could be a little too complex for customers with fairly large installations. Then in step 3, where the TLCM tool would actually be installed and running, it would discover the actual middleware and then would track its usage. In step 4, it would calculate the number of PBUs if it was using version 2.3. If your customer's on 2.2, it would only track the number of per processor licenses. And then, of course, would report back to IBM to the license management server in step 5. And as you can see in the current process prior to today, all of those steps were required. But we've identified through this work we've done with a number of customers that all of the steps that today have some manual effort by either the customer or by IBM, we found ways to either simplify those parts of the process or to improve them. And until we simplify them, we're going to go ahead and suspend some of these terms, which we cover then on slide 8. So we're going to take the next few months to focus on developing the processes, the simplified processes, and to simplify the tool so that we think we can build a much more effective process and one that's easier for the customers to use. But in the meantime, we're going to suspend 3 specific requirements which have caused some of the customers the most difficulty. And I want to emphasize to everyone that by suspending, this is a temporary suspension. This is not a permanent suspension. When we reinstitute the process, which we're hoping to do in the 3rd quarter, but we don't have everything nailed down in the plan, so it's possible it might not be until 4th quarter. When we reannounce that, at that time, we will be putting removing the suspension and putting its requirements back in place. Or if we find some other ways to simplify it that would permanently remove one of these, we will announce it at that time. So the 3 terms that we are currently suspending is that the customers do not need to install and implement the Tivoli License Compliance Manager for IBM software tool. Now, if your customer has been sold on the for-fee version to do subcapacity as well as other software asset management, we encourage you to have them continue with those other software asset management tasks. It's a very solid product, does a great job for those, but you would not need to use it for the time being to track the subcapacity licenses. Then the second feature, which has been suspended, is that customers will not need to register their Tivoli License Compliance Manager administration server with IBM's license management system. And then finally, they do not need to submit the quarterly use reports to IBM. And again, those are the ones that customers would be preparing right now at this time for submission to IBM. So that's why it becomes important to get out to them quickly and make sure that they all understand that they don't need to do that effort at this time. But again, I want to emphasize that this is a temporary suspension. But even though it's temporary, customers are still required to remain in compliance with our terms and conditions. We know that without the tool, that makes it a little more difficult for them. So, of course, if there were was a small error made, we could work those problems out. But it's really important for customers to understand that it is their responsibility, and once we think the tool is really the kind of tool that we want them to be able to use so that they don't encounter problems, we'll reinstitute those specific terms. So on slide 9, the next slide, we talk about what we've been doing to communicate with customers. Now, customers who have existing subcapacity licenses are going to be notified by email. There are a handful of exceptions where individual reps have asked us to pull their customer, and all of the Japanese customers were pulled from being sent an email at the request of the folks in IBM Japan. For those who registered with the license management server, we have exactly through their passport registration who the right people are to send that letter to. And so we did that. In fact, you'll see the English version of this letter attached here on the chart. You can just click on that and launch it to read it. We also have put the translated versions of that letter up on the subcapacity webpage, which you see a hot link for there. You would go to that page and then click on the subcapacity attachment, and they're on that page. Now, as that implies, we've updated the external Passport Advantage subcapacity page to talk about the suspension. So those are the two primary ways customers are being notified. But if a customer had not registered with LMS yet, had ordered a subcapacity product but had not yet reached the step where they could register with LMS, we may not have the best names in our files as to who's responsible for the subcapacity licenses. And that's where we need your help. If you have a customer who has a subcapacity license, please help us make sure that the text of this letter gets to the right individual in your customer site. Now, customers can still buy subcapacity licenses, and they'll be on effectively a trust model until we reinstitute all the terms that are currently being suspended. When a customer orders a new product, we would certainly hope that you would be presenting them with the letter, but we will also make sure that with that initial order that they are notified that those terms have been temporarily suspended and they will not need to install the TLCM or register their server with IBM in the meantime. Now, if we go ahead and move to slide 10, the next slide, we list the resources that are available to you, and they're really both found on the appropriate Passport Advantage subcapacity websites. There is the external site, and you see both the hot link and the link spelled out for you here. It clearly identifies the three terms that are suspended, so you can point customers to that site so that they can see that it's for real. Those terms are suspended. And in addition, then, the site that I pointed you to pick up the charts, if you didn't receive them in your confirmation notice, which, again, is both hot-linked and spelled out as an address here that are available on Excel, contains additional information. In fact, as I mentioned before, it contains this presentation. And as soon as we get the MP3 recording of this call, we will post that to the page as well. We have a question and answer document or frequently asked questions, whichever version of that name you prefer. We have one there today. We plan to enhance it based on questions which were asked yesterday on the call with the Americas and EMEA teams and with questions that you might have here on this call today. We'll be enhancing that Q&A, and of course then the customer letter is available from there as well. Now, we understand that even with the question and answer session that we're going to have in just a moment or two, you may have questions come up in the coming days or weeks that you'd like to get answered. And the first place I'd encourage you to go is to your normal software group support organization, so the e-customer care or your Passport Advantage consultants, whoever that the right resource for you is. I know that that might vary from country to country. That should be your first line of defense, but if you're not able to find the right person or they're not aware of the answer, please send a note to our subcapacity licensing email ID. You see both the notes and the internet versions of that ID on this page. We'll be monitoring that, and we will do our best to get an answer back to you quickly. But also be aware that because of the time differences, it's probably going to take at least one business day from your perspective to get that answer back. So with that, I'd like to just, for the other folks who are supporting me here on this call to answer questions, just in case there was some point I missed that they wanted to say, let me just ask if there's anything else they'd like to add at this point. And since we're only here in silence, then, Justin, if you'd go ahead and please open the lines for questions.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question today, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by digit 1, touch-tone telephone. If you join us today's speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. The first question comes from Atsushi Kawada.
Hello, this is Kawada from Japan. Thank you for your explanation. I have two questions about this suspension. First one is, should customers still need to get the ITLCM even if they don't have to implement it into the system? Or they don't have to get the ITLCM program itself at this stage? This is the first question. And second question is the effectiveness of this customer letter from legal point of view, because terms and fees are still on agreement. So from legal point of view, the customer needs to comply with the T's and C's. These days, customers are very concerning. Legal point of view, T's and C's. So I'm not sure if this kind of letter are legally effective or not.
Raj, you want to at least tackle the first one, and if you can do both,
Hi, Kawada-san. As far as the first part, the ITLCM tool, it is still available. There is no need for customers to download it. Based on the suspensions that Roger has just taken us through and the letters that are going out to the customers. If the customer wants, if they already have it and they're using it, they could continue, but there's no need to continue doing it.
So you mean the customer needed to place order, but they don't have to install or download or get the media?
Correct. We're still licensing subcapacity. We want ourselves to sell and customers license of capacity, but there is no need to actually install.
Not the subcapacity license, as ITLCM inventory.
There is no need to, the suspension also covers the reporting, so they don't need to submit the reporting to IBM also.
No. Order for ITLCM, free ITLCM. Current process requires customer to order ITLCM, and it will be listed on customer's inventory.
I see. So okay, we will be taking a look at that to see if that we still have not done that yet to stop the ITLCM requirement. In terms of customer downloading or using it,
not the downloading or using, ordering into SAP system.
Kawada-san, this is John. Maybe I can try that for you.
Yes.
The customer does have to download the ITLCM, and you're right. It does appear as an entitlement in their. In SAP, and we would see it in FastPass. They would see it if they looked in their inventory and so on, and that's necessary for them to be able to download it or to request physical media, of course. But the fact that it appears there, there's no charge to them, and they don't have to pay software maintenance or anything for it. So, the suspension of the requirement to install and use and report is, just means that they don't have to download and install it if they choose not to at this point. But if they already have, there's no harm done.
Please let me ask one more question. Maybe Japan process is quite different from worldwide one, but Japan process requires customer to submit ITLCM shipment request to IBM with free. So it triggers to place an order free ITLCM into SSP. So I'm concerning if customers still need to submit a free ITLCM shipment request to IBM.
Ah, well, that's okay. I don't believe that's true anywhere else, Kawada-san, so we'd need to look into that for you.
Okay, thank you.
Because I think in EMEA and in the Americas, when we see an order come in for subcap parts, I think we automatically add the subcapacity part to the entry in SAP for them.
Okay, thank you. It's clear, thank you.
Okay. Now, as to your second point, maybe I can just do that quickly for you. Your second question was about the legal effectiveness of a notification letter in overcoming some terms and conditions that are in the legal agreement, the subcapacity terms. Obviously, we did discuss that with our CNN folks and our law department, and we believe that it is an effective notification. It's a very subtle point, perhaps, but what we're doing here is we're saying none of the terms of the subcapacity attachment are actually changed. What we're doing is we're waiving the requirement for the customer to perform against those terms. So we're not sending them a notification with a brand new subcapacity attachment that has new words in it. What we're telling them is that even though that attachment requires them to do certain things, that we're not going to hold them to that commitment. We're going to waive that requirement, and we do believe that it is legally effective. If your attorneys believe that's not the case, then I guess we need to hear from them.
Do customers need to agree on this suspension?
No.
Because attachment is agreed both by IBM and the customers.
But this is a unilateral waiver. We're not asking them to do anything new. We're actually saying you don't need to do anything. So in this case, it would be extremely unlikely for a customer to object to us asking less of them. So no, we didn't feel it was necessary to require any kind of confirmation from the customer.
Thank you very much.
Well,
I'm very clear now.
Okay.
Justin, any more questions?
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Next question comes from Sue Pitchford.
Hi. My customer has installed the full version of ITLCM and not the free version. And they've been trying to implement subcapacity and have been having difficulty. What will change for them when we reinstitute the requirements?
Well, Sue, we're still, again, as I mentioned before, we are trying to dot the I's and cross the T's, so we're not prepared at this time to say what will have changed, if anything, because I don't want to tell you something here that then we discover in the next week or two won't work the way we thought. But as I said, when we reintroduce or remove this suspension and reannounce the process in hopefully the third quarter, but maybe the fourth quarter, at that time we'll make it clear what impact it has on your customer who has the for-fee version.
Okay.
I'm sorry we can't be clearer than that, but I just don't want to communicate something that turns out to be wrong in a few weeks.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Justin, any more questions?
Yes. The next question comes from Hirotaka H.
Hello?
Hello.
This is Hirotaka Ito from Japan, and I have some questions. Probably similar to the Kawada-san's question, but we need to confirm. The one is the customer does not need to submit the report. Because it's suspended, but the In case if customer wants to submit the report, because they define the customer's internal process within the customer, so that they, if they say they want to submit the report, do we have the servers available to receive the customer's report from April?
Steve, do you want to take that one?
Hey, Roger, I'm sorry, I did not hear the question.
Oh, he was asking if a customer wants to go ahead and submit reports, even though they're not required now, can they?
They can, I believe, this cycle, because we have not turned off the LMS function, but I believe I'll need to confirm that. So if they can send a note to the subcap ID, then I can get a 100% confidence answer back.
Hirotaka-san, if you would just send a note to the subcap ID, we'll confirm that and get that right answer back to you. But I believe
okay.
You also had additional questions.
Yeah, and another question is that the most case the customer purchased the server to install the ITLCM, so that they purchased those servers, that they must have complained that why do customer need to purchase the additional servers just for monitoring the subcap? And how do we gonna explain?
Well, you know, unfortunately, anytime you want to run a software product, you need a server to run it on, and many customers mm-hmm. have chosen not to purchase new ones but to implement it on another one. You know, how the customer chooses to do that is really up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way to explain it is just say that, when we remove the suspension, they'll need it again, and if they want to use those servers for some other workload in the meantime, they're more than welcome to do that. If anyone else on the phone wants to add to that, any of the folks supporting me here? I think that that would be our position. Are mm-hmm. there any additional questions you have?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Justin, next one.
The next question comes from Deb Warburton.
Hi, this is Deb Warburton in Australia. Getting back to a previous question from Japan about the requirement to order the ITLCM for IBM software if your customer's ordering subcapacity, from our angle, and I'm assuming therefore for the rest of AP, we are required to provide on our order form the part number for the free IBM software. It's not added automatically by the CSO team.
Okay, so you're saying that is the way the process is in Australia?
Correct. So if we don't provide the part number for the ITLCM for IBM software, the CSO team come back to us and say, can you amend your order form and put that part number on? They don't automatically do it when a customer has ordered the subcapacity. So I'm assuming Japan's answer basically is, yes, you need to continue to order it, but the client may not then download if they don't want to or don't have to.
That sounds like it's quite possible to me, but as John mentioned before, I think we're going to have to do a little more research because we didn't realize that the process worked differently there in Asia-Pacific than it did in the Americas or in EMEA. But you're right, that sounds logical, Deborah. Thank you. Next question, please, Justin.
The next question comes from Timona Ara.
Hello, this is Tomon Ara. I'd like to know the improvements of ITLCM in the fourth quarter. What I mean is I need to know the messaging specification or resources will be changed or not. I'd like to know that.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing you because it sounds like there's some background noise. Is anyone else able to pick up the question on the call?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little better, thank you.
Okay. I'd like to know the change of ITLCM specification change in fourth quarter.
Oh, how the tool will change in fourth quarter?
Yes.
Like I mentioned before, we're still trying to make sure that we can deliver exactly what we want, and we don't have all of the final details confirmed. So we're not announcing now what it will be in fourth quarter. That information will be coming in the next few months.
Okay, okay. So how can I tell the customer who want to purchase subcapacity licensing? Because they have to prepare for the future machine or budget. So I'd like to know the how large will be changed.
What I would encourage you to tell them is that, you know, under the normal terms, they do need to install the tool and run the tool. But once again, it's temporarily suspended, so when they get the product, they need to understand that once that suspension is lifted, they'll need to go ahead and use the tool and make the right resources available to run the tool. Does that answer your question?
Okay, so we... yes. So we should wait for the detail. Okay, we should tell that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next question, Justin?
There are no further questions this time.
All right. Let me just ask if anyone on the team, if through the questions you brought up, which by the way have been very good questions, whether there's any other items. Sue, John, Steve, Raj, we've also been joined by Jim DeGroot from the Tivoli team. Is there anyone who'd like to add anything here? Then, on behalf of all of us, we thank you for joining the call on such short notice. Again, there are questions and answers that are available up on the internal subcapacity website. You've got the link in front of you. The MP3 of this call will be posted there within the next day or two, just as quickly as we get the file from Premier. And as we learn more, we will enhance that site with additional information. That'll be a primary vehicle for us to send more information out to you. Then as we get closer to the announcement in the third or possibly fourth quarter, we'll certainly put that information up on that subcapacity page. We will also use the same kind of vehicles that we use to notify you of this suspension to tell you about the additions. You'll also be seeing in the coming months some additional education coming out on IBM's licensing terms, on the processor value units, on the subcapacity process, more detail on how you count the right number of processors in the subcapacity process. So again, I encourage you to watch the subcapacity page for those updates so that you can take part in all of those as they come. But again, I'd like to thank you very much for spending the time here today with us. And if you do have questions to come up later, please feel free to send them in to the subcapacity ID that's on the last page of the presentation. Thank you and have a good day.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation.